Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Danvers Psychic Hour. Today we are talking about reigning karma and taking your on-air calls. Does it make sense? Taking your calls on air for psychic readings.
The astral realm.
Huh?
It's taking calls in the astral realm on air.
That's right. That's what we'll be doing. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number, so please give us a call. Press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. That lets us know that you want to talk or to have a reading. And we invite everyone to follow us on Neil and Kristen Baker. That's our personal page, Neil Baker Psychic, and the Neil Baker Psychic Hour page, Jez, on Facebook. As well, there's a Twitter account, which, you know, we post to Twitter, and we utilize it moderately. So if you joined us there, we sure would appreciate it. And, of course, you can follow us here on Blog Talk Radio as well. Again, the call-in number is 914-338-0164, and it looks like we're going to get a chance to talk today. Oh, great.
Yeah. Well, you know, actually, the title of the show has a double meaning, because you have and it both fits.
Phonetically has a double meaning?
Phonetically
has a double meaning.
Mm-hmm. Because you have reigning karma.
Oh, you mean R-E-I-N. I got it.
Yeah. Reigning as in commanding.
I see what you mean by phonetically now.
Kingly. Reigning karma.
Right. Or
which
reigning
is you know, you reign over a kingdom.
Right.
And,
well, we
and
have. Then,
yeah.
not this lifetime.
And so you have reigning karma, meaning that karma can be very commanding and rule over your whole life. And then you have reigning karma, R-A-I-N.
Where it's flooding down upon you.
Where it all just floods down upon
you. Which is kind of the same. I mean, well, there are different principles, I guess.
You know, English language is really difficult. When you're, I've been thinking about this, how difficult it is to learn the English language when you're from another country, because you have so many different meanings to words.
Any language is like that, I think. I mean,
yeah, it's true. But in particular, the English language, when you have one word that can mean so many, that has so many different
meanings.
Well,
the one that sounds the same. They sound the same, spelled differently, or sometimes it's even spelled the same, and it,
and it has
means
different meanings.
Something
but
different.
Here, you know, we could say reigning karma, as in karma commanding your life, controlling your life, where you have no choice, and then reigning karma, where it just seems to be a downpour of things happening, and they both kind of come from the same dramatic principle.
But if it, rather the reigning R A I N I N G, there's going to be an intensity in the impact.
Yeah,
whereas if it's raining, I mean, it may
it's
be an overriding theme of life, but it may not. I mean, you might have both rainings occurring, but there's
but,
a difference.
I mean, it's just
presiding theme versus an onslaught of energy.
The word, it's an invented word, because the condition occurred before the word was invented. So actually, when you see the word karma, as in receiving punishment for something you did, or getting retribution, that our actions have a consequence.
Right. And just, it's not always, but it's not always negative.
No, it's not always negative. So, I mean, everything has a negative positive, so you can have positive karma, but in the general mainstream popularity of the word, yes, you can have good karma, but bad karma, which didn't even have, it's not even a root word in English, but it is a word that describes and tries to give meaning and definition and title to something that befalls us. And especially it's involved in the idea that you are responsible, you're going to get consequences for your actions. So whether it's good or bad, you're going to get consequences for your actions. So it reminds us that we just aren't free agents, that if we act freely in the world and we happen to commit an offensive act, that something is going to come back and grab us, haunt us, arrest us, something like this.
Right. So that said, you know, karma sometimes can be delayed. So there are a lot of people that commit terrible acts, able to live very well in the world according to, you know, maybe their financial status or fame, and don't seem to have a ton of consequences, but they may get hit later. Other people deal with more instant karma, or the collective karma from past lives is so dense that it consumes them, and that would be the REING.
Actually, it's very root. The very root of karma is death, because the consequences of a life lived is death. You're going to die. So the karma of life is death itself. So the pure essence of karma is that we die. The consequences of a life, we die. No matter what we do, we're going to die. And that's where the basis of karma occurs. And then within a lifetime, now the content of what you do within a lifetime can have another kind of karma. There's a secondary karma. So the main karma, the main heading is death. And the secondary subplots are punishment, retribution, comeuppance, things like this that occur that stem back way back in time. The consequences of eating from the tree of knowledge was death. Death entered the picture. And so what occurs, what karma is really attached to, is action, acts, that we in our existence have choices to make in most cases. So when you have reigning karma, R-E-I-G-N, is basically the idea that death rules.
Right. So everybody, I mean, really, Andrew has rules. This. You cannot escape death when you are a human being or an
you
animal
can't.
Or whatever. It plants on the planet.
Right. And then what karma does, it takes this sort of colorful but dramatic deviation from action, and it turns into consequences that really have no connection to our behavior. We can get cancer. We can be standing on a corner waiting for the light to turn green and be hit by a car that's by a drunk driver.
Well,
so it's not always a result of a direct action.
A direct action.
Karma now comes in as what's regarded as maybe fate or the word accident. There's a great movie called Accident. Dirk Bogarde was in it. It was an English film. The word accident can now become part of the element of karma. Well, it was an accident. Well, it was fate. Well, it was karma.
But when you're talking about accidents or fate, that has to be rooted somewhere. I mean, obviously, our fate is to die. So that's rooted in, you know, the original sin. That's we die on the planet. But if you're talking about someone's individual fate, or an accident, there has to be some connective tissue to something that's causing an accident.
Well, there is some connective tissue, because the idea of karma, or maybe the control of karma, if you will, we have one tool, and that's awareness. So if we're very aware and alert, we can, and very careful and very moral or ethical, whatever it may be, we can divert karma. We can divert an accident. We can avoid something. But that very word, being alert, stems from the idea of knowledge, which is somewhere in the line of humankind we obtained, whether it's through fable, storytelling, or just pure evolution of the brain. We acquired the ability to become aware. So what we have by nature is that one of our tools that we have against karma is awareness. Now, that's controllable karma. If you're very aware, then you can avoid karma. You know, I'm not gonna drink and drive.
Or even, softer, I'll be alert on the road. So if I see someone who's driving recklessly, I'll be able to avoid an accident. Actually, something comes to mind because we were just talking about this. A guy in Florida was driving down it was a regular, like a street, but probably 45 mile an hour zone street with businesses on it. And a car came out and clipped him, and his car rolled and rolled and rolled. I don't know what's happened to him since the accident, which was like last week, but he has serious brain injury. I mean, it was very violent accident. But I was saying to you, watching the clip, he was not at fault for the accident. I mean, someone clearly caused the accident. In fact, the driver, it was a hit and run, and they ended up finding the driver, so on and so forth. But watching the accident and watching the other cars, how fast they were driving behind this guy, I mean, he was going too fast, I think. And had he been going slower, he may have avoided such a dramatic accident. So,
well, in the incident of karma and traffic, when I'm driving and I enter an intersection, I'm looking at every corner, at every angle before I enter that intersection to be ready to brake if someone's going to run a red light. I look at the distance, I look at the cars, I look at everything. The thing that scares me about driving is when you're in the left-hand lane and the opposing traffic is in their left-hand lane, and you only have that broken line between you, and the cars are coming at you at 40, 45 miles an hour very fast, and you're in that lane, and if a hand should slip or they lose control of their car and you have a head-on collision, I mean, I imagine, the engine coming up in my face, we're squashed. There's nothing you can do.
Well, we've almost been hit.
A
couple times on the freeway. And we're, you being cautious, because you don't really often let me drive. We're driving together. But you being cautious avoided an accident. I mean, we've had people pull into our lane where we were.
My extreme caution. Yeah, extreme caution. So I'm looking at that. But when I'm driving and I'm looking at opposing traffic coming with just that separation of a broken line, and I think if this guy coming turns his wheel, and there's nothing I'm going to be able to do, nothing. The only thing I might be able to do is drive in the right-hand lane, but you can't always do that. So, you can, and then if it happens, it happens, and you can say, well, it's karma. Because sometimes karma hits us when we're really good people.
Well,
it doesn't, it's this idea of trying to analyze where this karma comes from. What is the root system of karma? Well, we already sort of briefly defined it as the ultimate solution, death. The ultimate conclusion is death, karma, death. But, when it hits us in so many different ways, we were just dealing with a client that they went to Mexico, where this is a condensed version.
Oh, yeah.
And he had a meal and he got diarrhea.
He was the husband of the person that we were dealing with.
Yeah.
Right.
So he got diarrhea, and a few days later he was dead.
Well, I think it was longer than a few days. But he got very sick, and then they thought it was maybe E. coli. He blocked intestines, and then he couldn't produce enough platelets in his blood. That's what happened.
Yeah.
So it compounded and compounded and compounded, and then he died. Yeah.
Well,
this is another thing. I mean, which we didn't discuss, but the fact that they had just moved to Mexico like 3 months prior, to this, his illness. So, I mean, would this have happened? Perhaps his system was compromised because of, you know, being in a new, a foreign environment. Obviously, if you're eating and drinking water in a foreign country, your digestive system isn't used to that, you know.
Yeah,
that, I mean, probably caused
so
the diarrhea.
So you could stem it that, you know, was karma in Mexico?
Right, that's what I was
or
getting to.
Or was there a certain other kind of fate going on in his body? You know, it's scary. Karma is a scary thing because as much as we try to control our karma by being an ideal citizen and obeying the law and being a good person and not doing anything mischievous or anything like that, and being careful and being alert, my God, it can still hit us. It can still rain karma. We can't always control the weather patterns of existence in terms of our human condition and what happens to us.
Yeah, well, and with his case, there wasn't time in the reading to go into, you know, what the root of that karma was for him that caused him to die. Was it the location? Was it something with food that he had in
right.
a past life? I mean, there were some other things about his profession which may have been possible.
Maybe something in there. And look at this. What's his name? Luke Perry? What's this guy? You know, the stroke at what, 54, 55?
No. Well, what's really interesting about him, 52 years old.
Oh.
He was 52 and his karmic number is 25. And he was born October 11th, 1961, I think. Is that right? I don't remember what it's. No, 1966, I think. But he's a 25-7. So at the inversion of his karma, he dies. Obviously, you know, something was going on to pull him into that 10-11. Because, I mean, you know, in terms of his life, everybody said he was a total gentleman. Nothing, there was nothing about drugs or alcohol. I mean, he changed eating habits and things like that. So
right, you can't.
He did have what they call Frank's sign, and it's a horizontal line on the earlobe, which can be a sign of stroke or heart attack. But as far as, you know, there wasn't anything he was doing in his life seemingly that would have caused
life is
a
very
health
fragile
problem.
I mean, we're this human unit, and we are constantly responsible for our existence. So you think to yourself when you wake up, you are a total unit. And you're responsible for whether you may live or die during the day or during the night. That includes all the things you do, walking, driving. You know, a guy stepped out of a bank and he was shot and killed. He just happened to be stepping out of the bank. Being alert.
Did they ever find, I mean, was there, I don't know the follow up.
It was a story about a week or two ago.
I know that, but is there any link to these people
follow
that killed him? So there's nothing, you know.
I never followed the end of the story, but.
So it could have been totally random.
You just don't know. So it's something that has to be really considered what this word is when you convert it to an action or an occurrence. And you have to factor in that it's very real. There's no denying that whatever you want to call it, karma or fate or destiny or accident, it is in our world. And it's something we have to think about every day. Now, on this show, we're defining a good portion of karma to consequence. And our root system to karma is not necessarily in the body. It's in the soul. So if it's in the soul, that is inhabited by the body, then that has nothing to do with the body. It has to do with what the soul and the past life is bringing to the current stage. So here we're walking around and we think everything's fine, but inside of us is this soul that has a history of past lives with consequences in those past lives that have not been administered yet. And now the comeuppance is that the energy of those actions are now seeking the soul within the body, and wham, we're done
right.
for.
Which like the, you know, in the case of Luke Perry, who was living an apparently okay life, you know, and but probably in my interpretation, his death was caused by past life.
Yeah.
I mean, that was past life karma that was coming back to haunt him, and you know, ultimately
right.
resulted in his demise. And wondering if this was a destiny he came into the world with, but that there was no way to avoid it. Kind of think so.
And with that in mind, it becomes now a real sloppy science. I can't even call it a science. It's just sloppiness, trying to determine where in a past life you've created a karma in this lifetime that is coming to get you. And so what the, you know, you're never going to go to anybody rational or scientific or even psychological to get these premises. You have to go out and go to a psychic or somebody who does past life regression or something like this. And even then,
you have to be,
the events are never totally proven, even if they're absolutely seemingly coincidental or accurate.
With validation, you know, and things like that, which is a test if you're dealing with someone accurate.
It's a crude test, but it's one of the only measurements that we have of testing. When if a child is speaking French and never knew French, and he claims to have been a French soldier in World War I, and now it's 1978, and he describes all these places, and he's not seen any movies. It's just obvious. We have one of those rare cases. Then everyone's scratching their head and wondering, you know, is it some sort of abnormal brain pattern? Or some people might say, well, okay, we have this isolated event. It's extraordinary. Maybe there is something to this past life situation. But for the most part, for most of us walking on the planet, if we're to determine that there are consequences from past lives, I guess one avenue is to seek a good psychic and try to discover what past lives you've had. And from those past lives, without the psychic being aware of your current life, see if there's any patterns that are being repeated in this lifetime. I did a reading with one fellow that I said he had a past life in China.
Oh, yeah.
And he just looked at me while I was talking. But it ended up that he later confirmed this by saying, I did a bike ride through China. I went to China. It's the last thing I would have done, but I was compelled to take a tour of China by a bicycle. But this is like, this would be, him going to China would be like Don Knox playing James Bond. There was no reason, there's no rationale for him to go to China. So when this came up, it served as a bing, validation of some kind of past life energy. And consequently, when he was in China on the bike, to my recollection, some dust or something went in his eye, and he had terrible eye problems from that point to a certain other point in his life where they finally vanished. But there was that deep, deep energy that occurred while he was there, among the touring and having a joy.
So it was something that was diluted, the eye problem, probably much worse than a past life. So what's interesting is, or curious, is how to determine when you're traveling, for instance, if you're returning to an area that was a fatal, where there was a fatality in a past life, you know, and you're traveling back to that land that you died on, or if there were negative circumstances, maybe that didn't necessarily lead to some kind of tragic fatality, but could disrupt your current life. You know, I mean, it's tough to navigate that when you're really not, you know.
I mean, in all the years that I've been studying this, and also through numerology and trying to even absorb events by focusing on the energy of a birth date, more or less a body in front of me, and trying to determine how do we probe into the essence of the soul and come up with information that's valid to explain one's existence or circumstances of one's existence. So when we get into the idea of reigning karma, or we have clients who we would say that the reigning, that R-E-I-G-N karma has been constant throughout their life, just constant. And
it's so limiting.
It's never gonna change.
It's so limiting that, I mean, happiness is very challenging for these people.
Very.
Whereas
very
some people may have reigning karma and they're able to function better and live a normal. I mean, everybody has karma. But
right.
Its intensity is going to vary from individual to individual. So people are going to have greater limitations, less limitations.
Well, it was the same with the guy in the wheelchair, the scientist.
Stephen Hawking.
Stephen Hawking, you know, the karma that reigned, R-E-I-G, over his life and kept him bound to a wheelchair.
Yet he had this amazing freedom of his mind. And,
yeah,
you know,
he was kept. So that's the condition of karma that has a kind of double-edged energy, as opposed to somebody who has a really good life, and then for 2 years, their lives are in total disarray and total turmoil and just miserable. It's raining karma then.
R-A-I.
R-A-I-N-I-N-G. It's raining karma. It doesn't command the entire lifetime, but it takes a big chunk out of a life, and it just is a downpour. And so there's a difference in the energy field. I think part of it is rooted to the idea of just how much karma are we coming in with? And if it's overflowing, if it's so commanding that there's just no way one lifetime is going to be able to take care of it all, then you can pretty much assure yourself it's going to be a constant throughout the lifetime. If it occurs in one lifetime or maybe two lifetimes and it's concentrated and intense, then you can pretty much be assured that it's going to be short-lived, but maybe dramatic in its term. So we have, but it's weird when you look at it, like the actor that went to his gate and he was crushed. I think
he was
on Star Trek.
The young kid.
We're using these examples because they are prominent in the consciousness. People who die that way. Sonny Bono, who died
in
a
skiing accident.
Skiing. And he died, as opposed to maybe, Prince doing drugs and with falling over, maybe prescription or whatever, abuse. But two different ways that karma can hit us. One being it may be self-inflicted, the other being by accident. Weird stuff. It's weird stuff. And it all comes down to the notion of consequences. Of consequences that's maybe rooted to something that's has a consciousness that is rooted to the idea of the soul, and then the outcome of what that karma happens to be.
So I just wanted to say something about the reigning karma, which, you know, talking about reigning, that kind of karma where someone is so beset by karma that makes their lives very difficult and unhappy. And, you know, it's constant throughout a lifetime or two lifetimes. Just because one doesn't have that kind of overwhelming karma doesn't mean that that person is not coming back. So you have to realize that the reigning reigning karma is so challenging to a person's progression, not just transcendence, because oftentimes it prohibits someone or limits someone in such a way that they're not able to fulfill the various chakras. So essentially they're stuck in these lifetimes where no progress is being made and they're not, you know, actualizing the chakra system so that they can move to the next level. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not just, well, you don't have this intensity of karma, so you get to transcend in the next lifetime. The idea is to get through all the chakra systems and not create new karma so you can get off the planet. But just because you have that intensity of karma throughout a lifetime or two lifetimes does not mean you're going to not come back.
Yeah, it becomes a difficult thing to define, but if we get into the idea of the essence of karma and metaphysics, there's an intermediate stage that we enter in my belief pattern, and that is between life and death, where we go into the astral realm and our soul works out elements of the previous lifetimes before it re-enters the earth. And some souls become very rebellious in that astral realm, in that cosmic realm, and they come in with bitter anger. Others are more cooperative and accept their fate, and they turn out to be individuals that are somewhat amazing. Well, you know, that's the way it is. This is what I have to accept, and I forgive. And, you know, it's the variation of the human condition in terms of people who seek revenge, people who seek forgiveness and grant forgiveness, is all from the conduction of the elements that orchestrate our destinies and our predestinies in terms of how we evaluate what kind of charge we want over our soul. So, I mean, even Mark Twain said, I'm going to die when Halley's Comet comes. And he died when Halley's Comet came. He lived a full life. Where did that come from?
Right. Not a psychic.
Yeah.
Weird.
Well, yeah. I mean, he wrote The Mysterious Stranger, too, which was a deep story about Satan and the creation of the world and all this stuff. But the idea of having this ultra consciousness of what we were doing before we came here. Sometimes there's little dream leaks that we get and glimpses of what we were doing before we came here, or we revisit the astral realm and we evaluate how we're doing on the planet. But there is that intermediate world where we can gather, where we gather our resources together, and through some counseling in the astral plane, start to arrange the conditions of our life, which may be under the heading of karma as well.
So a soul that might be rebellious in the astral realm is probably rebellious or, you know, angry in that state because the soul does not want to come back to the earth. So yeah, there's a rebellion against the system.
So it's that Satan rebelled. I mean, there's a war in that world. Obviously, something's going on up there.
Mm-hmm.
And we all enter that realm at some point. And when we die, we all enter that realm and go through a process of information and conditioning and consequences, which ultimately may result in the fact that we come back with some sense of karma attached to us.
Okay, let's take a call. I believe this is Amy. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Did you get your...
What?
Did you get your... Is this Amy?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I wanted to make sure. Did you get your... did you go to the cardiologist?
I did, and set up a CAT scan. It was he wasn't concerned about things. I sounded fine, and I have a cold now again. But
yeah, you sound awful. Sorry.
I know it's frustrating because I thought I was all the way better, and then I got this like sinusy stuff, which is frustrating. But I suppose summertime I feel a lot better. So anyway, he suggested a CAT scan, and then because of my age, a stress test, because I have risk factors, like my parents having heart issues. But anyway, I had a question about, I don't know if it fits in with karma, but I guess it does. I've noticed over the years, this might get a little off center, but I've noticed over the years, especially with two of my kids, after I split up with my ex-husband, one of them, the 18-year-old, would be really spaced out and looked like she was going to pass out. And it happened a bunch of times. And my ex-husband was never concerned whenever I brought it up. And I was like, well, I'm concerned because it looks like she could just pass out walking because it happened in the house. And he just always blew it off. And now I'm noticing my 14-year-old doing the same thing. And a friend of mine who's, who's a psychic reader and hypnotherapist and seems to have some gifts in that area, suggested that, or she didn't suggest it. She went into meditation and she came back and told me that my ex is sending dark entities with them over here, or with the child over here. And I just was wondering from your opinion if that's possible, and if it is possible, I guess one of the ways I was thinking to prevent it is, would it be to figure out what the past life karmic connection is and try to resolve that?
Go ahead, Amy.
No, that's okay. I'm wondering what your opinion is, and then what steps would there be to take if that was possible?
Well, let's, first of all, can we get the husband's birth dates and your kid's birth dates?
The ex-husband is 12/12/73.
Okay.
And the 14-year-old is 8/5/2004.
It's 8/5/2004. All right.
And then the 18-year-old is 5/19/2000.
5/19/2000. I mean, the first thing that, you know, and this you're saying would happen after visits with the husband?
Well, no, I noticed just the other day when he dropped Jasper off, Jasper was completely, like, spaced out. Like, didn't look at me and was, like, somewhere else. And then when I said, are you okay? And it slowly turned toward me and was like, yeah, you know, just irritated with me that I would even ask. But it was kind of creepy. And I've seen this before with Vi in the past.
And have your children been checked out by doctors? I mean, you know, always
yes,
we have to ask if there's no seizure disorder or anything.
And that, right, that was my first concern with Vi. I was like, is she having seizures or a low blood pressure or something, you know, what's going on? And there was a potential diagnosis of orthostatic hypotension, but then they did further testing and didn't find that to be accurate. So then, you know, I'm wondering what the heck else it is, if it's something spiritual.
Well, does your husband, like, what's his, like, I mean, what are his beliefs? Does he work with dark entities, or is he more not into the whole spiritual thing or concepts of good and evil and, you know?
He used to, you know, kind of make fun of me and being an acupuncturist too, even be negative
right.
about that. He was up and down about it, but it just seemed to be like opportunistic, whatever was going to be his benefit and whatever conversation he was having at the time. It seems like he's pretty anti-religion. Like in high school when he was supposed to go to catechism class in high school, and he would go to the mall, you know, and like, I don't know. He seems to be anti-religious.
So he has something rebellious. It's funny because we were talking about rebellion, but there's something in him that rebels against organized religion he doesn't consider himself to be like a spiritualist. He doesn't identify with any type of church and all this. I mean, I don't think he's consciously sending, you know, dark entities. I mean, but Neil, I'm going to hand it over to you because I just,
well, are these
know.
Visits, I'm not sure, are they supervised? Is he alone with the kids?
Yeah. I mean, we have shared custody.
Oh.
He now lives with his fiance and her kids.
And what kind of work what kind of work does he do? Is he employed?
Yeah, he's an IT director.
Like internet, for a business?
You know, an energy,
right.
We're human beings and we put out energy, whether it's intentional or not. So the energy level of what he's putting out, whether it's intentional or not, can affect anybody around. And if your children are affected by his energy level or affected by his environment, it's sort of like what you're experiencing let's put it this way. Well, you live in Florida, and it's warm. And he lives in the North Pole, and it's cold. And you go and pick up your kids, and they're coming from a frozen area. They're not acting like it's Florida right now. They're adjusting to the change. So probably what's going on is that in the environment that they're in, there's a very different kind of energy in that environment, and it sets these younger kids, human beings, into a whole different mindset. And whether there's something implied or not, it's probably a result of that. Do I think that your husband is sending evil energy? No. I don't.
But they're adjusting to the different energy levels within each of the homes. So they're coming back into your energy field and having to, I mean, it's impacting them coming out of whatever environment your husband has in his home.
You know, probably a good therapist, a psychologist can help them with, to help them come out and explain the difference between the two environments. Maybe your husband does have some sort of vibration he puts out. Maybe there's even something past life that he's carrying with him. But do I think intentionally that he's sending dark energy to your kids? No. I don't believe that,
and
not in this case.
What is the relationship, I mean, like with both of the children for your husband?
With them?
Yeah.
I don't really know. They don't really talk to me about it, which makes me wonder.
What was it like when you were all living under one roof?
He's kind of boisterous and controlling and... just weird stuff. Like, he taught them all to play video games at, you know, 1.5 years old. And I would say, let's go hiking. And he would be like, leave them alone. They don't feel like it. You know, weird stuff that looking back, I'm like, what is that? Like, it feels like potential programming.
But he's also an IT director. I mean, just to bring a little bit of, you know, logic into the situation, he's structured. They're young to be playing video games and things like that, but he's of the mindset where, you know,
there might be some orientation on his part where he's conditioned these kids in a certain way. But again, that we're dealing with adverse environments. You know, I don't know if it's anything intentional. Did you ever see him do anything directly evil? Did you, you know, catch him online looking at Satan, or did he, you know, kill pigs and drink their blood? Did you see anything really dramatic about this man in your lifetime with him?
Well, he's a cross-dresser, and he demanded that I approve of that if I was to stay his wife.
I mean, that's also, you know, people have sexual preferences, and that may not be to your taste, but that's not exactly...
Appropriate and moral and ethical to demand that your wife accept it, or he's going to pretty much throw me under a bus, trash my reputation,
that's disgusting.
Okay,
yeah.
The guy's got
some weird stuff. Yeah, there's some weird stuff going on.
And don't. I don't mean to, you know, defend your husband at all, but you know, so the cross dressing, not necessarily, but the fact that he would force it on you and then manipulate you with it is the problem.
Yeah, I mean, there's some crazy thing. He doesn't sound like a really healthy human being. He doesn't.
No, that's what scares me, because I think it attracts negativity, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. We were saying that energy fields from human beings, you know, coming out and doing something, there's some bizarre stuff going on with this guy. We're not arguing with that premise, that there can be, but is he... Is he deliberately trying to put evil energy or dark energy on your children? No, but by his very living habits and the consciousness of who he is and how he emits his energy, yeah, your kids could be affected by that. But then again, there isn't, you know, legally speaking, there isn't anything you can really do unless he's abusing the children. I mean, you know, or there's some harm coming on them.
The best thing to do is to protect them, and
that's why I call you, because I know it's not a legal problem. It's an energy problem or
that's
a karmic problem or some kind of problem.
What your children need, are you available with therapy for your children?
Yep, I go to therapy and they go to therapy.
But can you talk to their therapist about what your concerns are regarding the father, and then perhaps the therapist can guide the session in such a way that they're able to talk about the father, and they, you know, the therapist can provide, you know, them with healthy boundaries or ways to deal with, you know, whatever feelings are coming up.
Well,
because of these
there are some challenges with that, because I think like HIPAA doesn't allow them to really have in-depth conversations. Once the kid's 14, it's pretty private. But I can express that I've noticed this, I've noticed that.
Yeah.
I've noticed the spacing out. And so, I can do that much. But
unfortunately, your husband's not going to probably change. You're not going to change your husband or ex-husband.
No, I'm just wondering about protecting myself, my environment. I've seen black fluffs of energy go across the room, so then I sage.
No.
I don't know what else to do.
Sage is not going to really do anything, I don't think.
What we can do after all is said and done, we can do, Chris and I, is we'll put out an energy field of protection for your children, and we can go into greater depth of this if you prefer off the show. But if it comes down to just a dark energy level and you're concerned about your children, there's nothing wrong with Chris and I putting out an energy of protection for your children, and maybe from that point there can be some enlightenment or some change or something going on. It demands a deeper concentration of a reading and getting more details and understanding the nuances of what your children are going through. I mean, they're both in their teens, so we're getting up there and there's changes going on. So it does command a little bit more than what we can do on the radio show. But I guess what we're concluding is that there is an energy field going on that should be addressed.
Yeah, I think so too. So I need to pay a few bills and then I give you a call.
Okay, Amy. Well, and we'll in the meantime put out energy for you and your kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Take care.
All right. You too. Bye.
Bye. Okay. 917. Hi.
Yes. Hi. How are you? Happy Wednesday.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine. My name is Tina. I just wanted to know what Spirit has for me.
I'm sorry.
Tina.
I just skipped two pages in my book. I can't believe it. Look. Two blank pages.
Tina.
Tina.
Go back and backtrack.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and backtrack. 11/27/73. Tina, do you remember talking to us before?
Yes.
Okay. And you have...
There's two Tinas. There's 2/24.
No, this is Tina. 11/27/73 is your birthday. You're from New Jersey?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
And you have a police officer boyfriend?
Yes. Yes.
How's that going? He's 8/30/62. How's that going?
Great. Peaceful. Very peaceful.
21. And so you're just wanting a forecast here for the year?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you.
And you're 40. You're going to be 46 years old?
Yes.
I'm doing math. Talk for a minute. I'm
focusing
on a calculator here.
thank you.
There is going to be, what I'm picking up on is that there's going to be a new female friend that you're going to have. And the female friend that you're going to have, there's something to do with going to a nightclub or music. There's some kind of social element that you're going to be getting into with this person. This person, I think we were talking about past lives. I think she's a past life sister, but you haven't met her yet.
I think I did. I just met someone.
Oh,
you did?
Maybe you did. Who did you meet?
Her name is Tanisha. I met her like 2 weeks ago, and that's what we were talking about.
I bet you don't know her birth date, huh?
12/9.
Wow. Don't know the year?
She's 30.
She's 30 years 12, old.
12/9. So I guess she was what?
89.
78.
89.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
89. That's it.
She's 30.
78.
She'd be 41.
Mm-hmm.
She was 30. She's 30. Oh, in 2018. I got it. Yeah, I did that wrong.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So now we have to add up her birth date.
1989.
If she's 30, she's going to be turning 31 this year.
She's on 31.
30 in April 2018. Mm-hmm. Which would be, you're right. I just went wrong. Okay. We're just getting ourselves together here. Yes.
It's okay. Thank you. You guys are math geniuses.
She says you guys are math geniuses.
Oh.
I will give Neil that credit. I will not give myself that credit.
Both of you. I'm like, you guys are amazing with numbers.
Oh.
38/11/2. She's a 38/11/2. She's got a ways to go before.
Well, you were talking about being past life sisters or talking about going to a nightclubbing?
Yes.
But we
get along really well. We have a lot in common. The friendship is really, peaceful. We're about to go into business together. And I did talk to her about a club. Mm-hmm.
And her car 11/2.
Okay.
There's a total.
The only error. I mean, we're right. Totally right. The only error was you've already met her. Which okay.
Yeah.
That.
So you just felt new energy. Yeah. Very new energy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very new. So this is going to be. This should be fantastic. I mean, I really feel good about this person. You know, there's always, in life, there's always caution because people can slip and do bad things and friends become enemies. So there's always common sense caution. If you go into business with them, just have a good contract, make it clean. Don't just do things by verbal word. Be very conscious about being logical and fair and open. And but having said that, which is somewhat of a warning, but having said that, the element of you meeting this woman is really good. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
It comes from a good past life. There should be some exciting things going on. What kind of business do you want to do?
She's a social work, so she's opening her own agency. But I went to school to become a doctor. I went to do autopsies, and then I didn't like it. After I interned for 3 years, and now she wants to go to medical school. But she wants to do it the way she'll be writing the prescriptions, for her therapy.
So are you licensed physician?
No, she's licensed. She's licensed. Well, no, I didn't want to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. I stopped before I finished all of that. I started interning.
But did she say, you guys are going to go into business
what
together?
What would you do in business
I'm
going to work with her. In her therapy job, she wants me to help her be a social worker also because I've been teaching for 18 years. So I was just saying we have things in common as far as the medical school, me not liking it and her wanting to go.
So she's going to open up a physician's office and you're going to interact there on a sociological level
she's a social worker. She's a social worker and she's opening her own practice. So she'll be, giving the children therapy there. But I've been teaching for 19 years, and she wanted me to go back to school. I was going to take some other accreditations to work with her as well.
Beautiful. Great, Tina. Thank you.
Yeah, but we're just excited about the medical school. I'm like, yes, you want to go to medical school? So we can talk about biology and chemistry. It's exciting.
I mean, that coincides with the vision we presented to you before you said anything. And so it all works. It's got a beautiful past life connection.
Yeah,
to
19
it.
Years, the friend is born 12/9. So the first and third number is 19. Tina is born on 11/27. So there's a 1/9 and the 2/7 and the 1. And their months are interchangeable in a line.
Yeah.
The days, again, Tina, you're born on the 27th and your friend is born on the 9th. Your 2/7 becomes 9. Your last numbers 3 and 8 become the woman's, the new friend's karmic number.
Right.
So there's a deep past life connection, you know, social work in the day, nightclubbing in the evening.
Well, not just that. Incorporate music therapy. If these are younger kids, incorporate music therapy in your practice.
She said that. Oh, my gosh. She said that.
Really?
She said the exact words. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's freaky. She said that. Yes. That's what she said she's going to do with the children.
And there already is. You guys have a common interest of going out and dancing, obviously, which involves music. So bringing that in.
So, like you said, with ringing the bell, you use music therapy in your business there, and you two are going to do some dynamite things, fabulous things with kids. You're going to be so happy. It's going to be a good thing.
Great. Oh, my God. I'm going to have her call you guys because she, you know, is very interested in things like this also. So, yes. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Have her call the show and call in, you know.
Oh,
like
no. She's too busy to call the show. She'll call you guys, you know, directly after. She'll have to try to make time. But, yes. Oh, my God. Thank you. Look, I'll call
you. You're welcome, Tina. You're welcome.
Yeah, I called so she could connect with you guys.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
The number to connect with us, bye, 562-596-7818. And also, you may join us on Facebook. We really appreciate it if you do. Thank you so much. And hope everyone has a great couple of days. Bye-bye.